This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This weather is confusing, but we love it because it is camp weather. That's what we're here to do today. We've got Daryl Ryder's going to be joining us as well. And, of course, the lead coming up, Spencer German. The Germinator is at 520. But after having watched the full day of practice here, he has quickly become a favorite from everyone. Everyone is constantly bugging him to come on our shows because he knows ball. He is a knower of ball. And he's also an incredibly nice guy. Lance Reisland, Coach Riz from Cleveland.com, joining us now. What's up, buddy?
Nothing much. Thanks for having me, man.
You enjoying the swamp factor as well?
I'm going to tell you this. As hot as it was today, the first 2 days, I thought I was going down. So today was a little bit. But when that sun went behind the clouds, it was actually comfortable. And then it went back up to a sauna.
This is the benefit of perspective. Because I was complaining about 84 degrees and muggy. And Jake was like, you have no idea. Yesterday was hell. And I was like, all right, let's stop complaining for just a little bit. I did not watch all of practice. I watched, I think, a fair amount. But in what I saw, the offense really looked rough today. Am I going too hard in the paint with that assessment?
No, you're not. Now, I think there's a couple things that kind of made it that way. First thing they did was they went one-on-ones a little bit more. They had not done that the first 2 days. Secondly, they went red zone with everything they did, the one-on-ones, the team drills. They moved the ball at the end there in 11-on-11s, but the offense really struggled. And it was, I mean, it is what it is. They struggled today.
All right, can I do the thing where then I go, does that mean the defense just looked really good, or was it that the offense truly just struggled?
Well, I'm going to give them some credit because a lot of those guys have been in the system for a long time, and I saw it during mandatory minicamp where you're getting communication things that you usually don't get until closer to the season. With motions and formations and things like that. They're checking. They know what they're doing. And when you know what you're doing and you have a new offense, it shows, right? And like I said, the red zone, the windows get smaller. They brought a little pressure today. They haven't shown that, so the offense had to kind of get used to that. But, yeah, it was definitely a day controlled by the defense.
All right, so let's then go to first got a chance to see Luke Floria today. One, I was really surprised he is a diminutive human being, but two, I do see what people talk about, that quick burst, that little speedy part of him. In terms of maybe some young players or some people that stood out today, where were maybe some of the standouts today?
Well, I think Marshall's done a good job at the tailback. Obviously, they've limited, but he's a big kid who kind of leans forward. And this physicality that they're going back to has more to do with the offensive line for me than it does the backs, right? They got to get the second and five. Luke Florey has been really good all camp. You know, I've seen him all summer. He's been really good. He is little. The concerns are there, but he gets open. And what he has to do in the slot, they don't have. So not only are they light at receiver, they're light for what he is, which is a slot guy working on linebackers, creating some easy yards.
And the other thing I like about him is I wonder if over time, I don't want to lean all the way into the Edelman thing. I love the idea of using that as like the chess piece of let's see how many different places we can get him involved, and that's something I think Kevin Stefanski does really well.
Well, you know, and when you go with 12 personnel, which I think will be their base this year, and you have those athletic tight ends that can do a bunch of stuff, and then you go 11, right? So now you got Flory in the slot. You're right. You can do a lot of different things with him, fly sweeps, jet sweeps. But more importantly, if you're going to be a power run team, he can keep that 6th, 7th, 8th defender out of the box by just simply getting them the ball if they're going to try to stop the run.
Lance Reisland here. I was stifling a burp. I wasn't doing anything other than that, and I have to own that because that's who I am. Lance Reisland with us live out at Browns camp. Again, Darrell Ryder coming up in about 15 minutes here. So, big picture. You've been on the record when we've talked to you. You're taking the over on this team. So, anybody who goes one way with this, I like to then say, I like to kind of put you on a hot seat and go, all right, what will be the big reason if they don't hit the over? So when we go 5.5 wins is what Vegas has got. If they don't get more than 5.5 wins, what do you think will be the fatal flaw of this team?
Simply, I think it'll be they don't win on first down, both sides of the ball. Because if you think about it, if they can get the 2nd and 5, they can protect that quarterback a little bit. And then if they can win on first down on defense, now it's 2nd, 3rd, long. Now you're going to your strength of this football team, which is that defensive line. So if they don't win first down, it's going to be a long year. But if they can win first down, they can be in a lot of football games.
I almost feel like, there's a Browns team that we had that when they scored first, they were unbeatable. I can't remember. It actually might have been 2020, but if they were the second team to score, they had very little chance to win. Actually, Baltimore had a couple years like this as well when Lamar was young. It feels like that kind of year. Like Kevin Stefanski's perfect scripted opening drive, you take the ball, march down the field and get 7. It almost feels like the game's going to be decided off that first, who scores first, just because even with Joe, like, I don't want Joe Flacco playing from behind this year just because it's not as volatile as Jameis, but that combustibility, bad Joe can come out when he's forcing things and trying to make plays with his arm.
Well, one of the cliches that, you know, I learned from my dad is try to end every drive in a kick. And it's kind of weird, but if you can make an offense, even an NFL offense, have to consistently go 80, 90 yards against this defense, you're rolling the dice in your favor. Doesn't mean you're always going to win. It just means you got to play the percentages. You got to make sure if it's 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, maybe you run the ball and punt it. I know that's not you know, popular with everybody, but you play to this defense, punt the ball when it's long yardage. You know, people say, you know, winning ugly. Winning's never ugly. You know, they got to find ways to squeeze out wins, and it's playing close to the best, winning on first down, running the ball, stopping the run, all the cliche stuff. But really, they got to end every drive in a kick and create a couple of turnovers, and they can be in some ball games.
So it's interesting. So much of the philosophy is we're going to go back to the blocking scheme that we've succeeded with previously. We're going to go back to the offensive scheme, the heavy play action. We're going to run the heck out of the ball, power scheme, which you've talked about. But it was interesting. Absent of that, I had a friend who does radio in Houston, used to do radio here in Cleveland, and he was one of the guys I reached out for my straw poll of like, hey, you taking the over, you taking the under? And he took the over, and he said something that was really interesting. He hasn't heard what Blomgren's going to do on the offensive line. You know, I think he can kind of guess we're not running with whatever offense they had last year, but he said something that stuck out to me that I think is a good thing to maybe ping back at you. He said, this is the kind of team that Stefanski wins with. And I think that's a really, really – I still don't entirely – I think I know what he means, but I don't entirely know. Do you agree that this is the kind of team that Stefanski wins with?
Yeah, and these are, you know, use the quarterback position as an example, right? The guys maybe who don't have the highest ceiling that have to play within the structure, right? So, you know, the idea of we're going to put whatever backs in there to get us to 2nd and 5 because the offensive line is physical. I agree with that. And what you get out of Blomgren is you get this passion, this energy. That offensive line, that's what they're being told. If we can get, in my opinion, if they can get to 2nd and 6 more often than they did last year, you're going to see the ability to, all right, we don't have a lot of receivers. Oh, that's okay. 2nd and 6, let's run some play action, take a shot to Judy. So there's some things they can do if they can win on that first down. But I agree with that exactly because it tells you you're winning within structure. You're not winning with the players.
So in fairness to Kevin, this is not something he has been entirely in control of every single moment he's been here. But I think it's interesting that Kevin's best moments for people, like they talk about him coaching up Jacoby Brissett. They talk about, you know, 2020 with Baker. Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, Case Keenum in Minnesota. His best moments have come with something that you just said there. guys who maybe don't have the most physical talent who have to play within the system. And at points, that has felt almost like an albatross as a Browns fan, because I'm like, well, I'd prefer you learn how to do this with a great quarterback. So, I'm just kind of curious about that ebb and flow, because it does feel like at points, Kevin almost, you know, it's the pretty girl that prefers a dumb boyfriend because it's a little easier to control. It does feel like Kevin prefers that more limited physical quarterback, which has its own limitations. So like, I understand the value of that, which is, well, you can win with some substandard quarterbacks. At the same point, I'm like, well, yeah, but Andy Reid did that for a long time. He also had Donovan McNabb and Patrick Mahomes, and he went to Super Bowls and won Super Bowls with one of those guys.
Yeah, you know, when I look at Stefanski's offense when he came out of Minnesota, you know, that the idea of playing within structure, it's like having a quarterback who manages the game. It's kind of become a negative connotation. I don't really see that with his offense. And what I mean by that is that you, as an offensive coordinator, you can only – it's not what you can install. It's what you can fix.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with the last couple of years, they've been in some things that he can't fix. And we can all design stuff, but if you can't fix it, then you don't know what you're doing. And you're not setting anything up. And, you know, he has a master plan of, you know, let's be in 12 personnel, let's put Samson out there, let's find a matchup for Judy on a slot, or that's, you know, that's what he's really good. He's a really good play caller, but I think he's a really excellent play designer when he doesn't have tons and tons of pieces, and his brain kind of works with, how do I make this happen in my scheme, especially on third down, especially in empty, but it all starts off with, can you win on first down, and then you're in the driver's seat as a play caller.
So let's go to just some basic scorecarding here. So the offense doesn't look great. I know it's early, so we're going to tell our audience, we're not overreacting, we're just putting the context of how it's looked. Couple days in here, how's Dylan Gabriel looked?
I've been very impressed with Dylan Gabriel, and you know, the reason I've been impressed with Dylan Gabriel is, once again, it'll be really important for him when the pads go on, but what he does very well is he's very polished. So his footwork's very polished. You can tell he's been at a bunch of different schools where he's had to throw it from different launch points in the pocket, 3-5-7 drops, boots, waggles, you name it. And he's also seen a bunch of stuff. So what you see out of him is a very cognitively smart kid where he's going through his progressions and he makes really good decisions and quick decisions. And you have to when you're shorter, because the idea of the line, I can't see over the line, if you know where you're going with the football, you can get rid of it a little bit quicker. He seems to be doing that pretty well.
All right. That means we got to go to Shador. How has he looked here early in camp?
Well, you know, Shador, when things get, like today, when things get pressure, right, and all those quarterbacks have felt pressure. So when the reps he's getting reps with the third and fourth team, sometimes that pressure is immediately on him, right? And so some of those bad habits come in with his backpedaling, and that backpedaling comes with A&P gap pressure because you get hit all the time and you're trying to buy time for your receiver to get open. He does make plays. Now, what they've done with I feel like they've given Shador some passes that to build him, right? Some hitches, some boots, some waggles, trying to get him rolling. I watched him. The idea that he doesn't know what he's doing, or that to me, I saw a bunch of that stuff at Colorado. He knows what he's doing. He's a cognitive, smart kid. But here, now he's got to do it underneath center. He's got to do it, you know, boot, play action. There's a run game, things he's not used to. It's always been him, and you can see there's some growing pains there. And he's got to be on time because his arm isn't elite. He's got to be on time with the football. There's a lot of quarterbacks that don't have elite arms. They just got to be on time.
Now, when it comes to the preseason, I have yet to debut this take. It'll happen later. I don't need to see Joe Flacco in the preseason at all. They might want to throw him out there for a series or two, because if he ends up being the guy, you want to make sure you have some continuity there. But I want the first game, I want it to be 33% by the three quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador. The next week, or the game two, I want half and half for the rookies. And then the final preseason game, I want it basically the same thing but reversed. Because I want to give these young guys and Kenny Pickett as many preseason reps as possible, even if, by the way, Joe Flacco still ends up taking this job and he takes it in the next week or two, right? How would you draw up the preseason when it comes to quarterback play? Because, again, it's actually, I just trust Joe Flacco so much to be the pro that I don't feel like he's really going to benefit much from preseason football, and I think that's exactly where I need the young quarterbacks and Kenny Pickett to be.
Well, yeah, there is that fine line of, I got to get some game reps. Even at 40 years old, he's got to get some game reps. So how do you build those in? Do you try to build them into practice a little bit more? Maybe go some live sessions of practice? I don't know where that's at. For me, I want to make sure that the best player is playing, and people, you know, those quarterbacks got to get a look. For me, I don't necessarily believe that. I think the quarterbacks have to get up to speed, and if they're all at the same page, then you take a look at them. But until they're all equal, the best guy's got to play, because that keeps the rest of your locker room, right? You got to make sure that those guys in the locker room know that the best guys are playing, because unless your boss tells you that I want to see these guys, your job is to win games. Not develop, you know, my dad always said you're going to develop guys and the next coach is going to develop, you know, take your fruits of your labor. So I think they got to figure out that balance here, because there's four of them. I got to get the top guy ready, but the thing that has to be the most important is winning football games. And what are we going to do to win football games?
So as we all say this, because you are you're a scheme guy, you're obviously a coach here. How different does the offense look that you build from Joe Flacco to Kenny Pickett to from Joe Flacco to Dylan, from Dylan to Shador?
Well, you know, if you look at his system, he can always tweak it for the quarterback. So if one quarterback can run that boot waggle they like to run, one quarterback, Pickett, Gabriel, those guys can stay on the run. If it's Flacco, he's just going to set up. But the protection from the offensive line stays the same. So he can tweak it, a guy that has really good feet or a guy who can't move. Without changing it up front. And that's really where the key is. I don't want to change it too much for my offensive lineman. I want those guys down and set and playing aggressively. So he can tweak that a little bit for the guy. The offense won't be any different, in my opinion. It's just maybe the launch point, maybe where you get rid of the football, but it won't be different in terms of the levels concepts, trying to find things that empty. Kevin's a fancy scheme. I've seen it now for 3 days, and I saw it during the summer where he's doing what he does. He's going to try to power run. He's going to run the play action off it. He's going to get in formations and try to create opportunities and matchups, and all four of those guys can do that.
He is our Nits and Grits guy here on Afternoon Drive. You know him. You love him. Cleveland.com. Spectrum News as well as a color commentator. Follow him on Twitter, at Lance Reisland. Coach Riz, awesome stuff today. I'm sure we'll have you on out throughout camp here, but really good stuff, buddy. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
If Keith posts any of the videos, I'm going to look schizophrenic, because I'm just constantly swatting in things. I've got the yips almost. But no, it's a beautiful day out here. The Browns back at practice again today. We're going to be out here, by the way, on Monday and Tuesday and Friday of next week. You just heard Coach Riz. I'm sure he'll be stopping by next week as well. But our next guest was also observing the proceedings today with the Cleveland Browns. Darryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, joining us now. What's up, bud?
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Again, every time I go to look to my left, there's a gnat flying right across my eyeball. So other than that, I'm doing really, really well. It's good. It's kind of brought me out. I was in a little bit of a funk this week. Everything's fine. Just a little natural summer over funk. And being out here actually did kind of boost my spirits a little bit. So we're good.
Well, now you got the biggest gnat sitting right next to you.
Jake, how would you talk about Jake that way?
No, it's talking about
me. I know. I was just trying to pivot in a way. Because I would never say that about you.
There's like six of them flying around
your head
right now.
They must be attracted to fat guys. Who knew gnats would be chubby chasers, too? So I guess we'll start with what you saw today. What stood out to you today about practice?
That was a practice that Eric Mangini would have been proud of. And that is
in a good way or a bad way?
No, that was not a compliment. I mean, it was Mangini in. The only thing that was missing was the lineman running laps around the field for making mistakes. It was a tough watch of the offense. There's just no other way for me to put it. All four quarterbacks struggled. Not a single one has really stood out through three practices. Now, as I say that, Nick, in fairness, these are 60, 70, 75-minute practices. It's a little early. My chief concern is I saw some plays out there today that should have been able to be made by everybody. I'm not picking on any one individually, but they weren't made. And so if you can't make those practices when you're on air, essentially, when there's no tackling, you're not in pads, you're not thudding up, I am a little concerned about what that looks like when you go against legit live competition. So that is something that I'm going to be watching in the days to come. Try not to overreact. Try not to put the cart before the horse here. But I'm going to tell you what, when it comes to quarterback play, nobody's in a rhythm.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about this, and this is probably something, it's one of the few things we've talked about on the offensive side of the ball that I don't know we've talked about the impact of, is you are going back to an old offense that doesn't automatically guarantee you success, right? You are trying to relearn some old habits, so even though there's a pretty strong knowledge of the system from a fair amount of these guys, because fair amount of the guys on offense have been here for 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, Joe as well. Joe's been in this offense. The other three quarterbacks, not so much, even though they fit it. But I think that's interesting. I think it'd be interesting if one of the things that actually hurt this team was going back to the offense that they were so successful at the first couple years of Stefanski here.
Well, I'm starting to question now. And again, I hesitate to get overly critical because we're talking about three practices that are not very in-depth in detail. But, like, I watched the one-on-one drills today, right? Wide receivers versus DBs. There were not a lot of completions there. And that was with the veterans on one end of the field and then the rookies at the other end of the field. And that both sides shared in that. And I am a little concerned about that because this is the time where everything should be somewhat easier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it gets harder from here. And this is the first time that, Nick, that I am starting to question – the whole four-man quarterback competition to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think maybe this was a bad idea. That what they might, maybe should have done was just say, it's Flacco v. Pickett. If one of these rookies happens to take camp by storm, we'll consider them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Maybe behind the scenes, that's exactly what it is and how they feel. But as far as the public messaging has been, what? It is a four-man quarterback competition. Everyone has a chance. Like, I don't know how you call it a four-man competition. If we're three practices deep, plus the off-season program and the mini camp and all that, and Shedeur Sanders hasn't taken a single first-team snap,
mm-hmm.
How can you say that man has a legitimate chance to win this job right now? You can't. Not with any ounce or semblance of credibility.
And I actually am on the opposite side of, like, because it's so early, listen, there's a logical pivot point once you get to that first joint practice that if the offense is just not clicking and you just need to lock into a quarterback, I think that's understandable.
Right.
We're still at the point where you got to make these mistakes today and see if there can be growth, you know? Like, so where I'm at, though, I think it's interesting. Just kind of talking over this where they are kind of thing, it's going to be I'm just inundated with Nats every time I try and make a damn good point here. I still listen. Where I'm at is I still think I'll be shocked if a rookie starts week one. And if a rookie starts week one, I still don't know. I'll buy that it was Kevin Stefanski's decision.
I would probably agree with that wholeheartedly. I can't see how. And that rookie would be Dylan Gabriel, right?
Yeah.
The only
And I think some fans aren't prepared for that, by the way.
And understandably so. If a rookie does start, Nick, I think it would be a situation that's out of their control. And obviously, you know what path that I'm going down there and referencing. Obviously, I don't want to put that out there in the ether. But the only way I see a rookie starting week one is if something occurs from between now and September 7th that's completely out of the organization's control there. And obviously, we hope that does not happen. I don't think Shadur is ready. I certainly don't think that Dylan Gabriel is ready, not by any stretch of the imagination. And right now, I don't think the organization is doing a whole lot to get Shadur ready. It's like they're dipping their toes in sitting on the edge, dipping their toes in the pool, see if the water's warm or cold right now with Dylan Gabriel. That's kind of how I feel about it. And, you know, and I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to be very fair and objective about this whole situation. I just kind of feel like that. How do you expect any of these guys to get in a rhythm when they're, you know, it's four reps, mm-hmm. four or five reps, and then the next guy's in. Four or five reps, then the next guy's in. Rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. How can you expect anyone to get into any semblance of a rhythm when that's, you know, what you're doing? Now, I understand that that's pretty much, you have to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time where I am really questioning the methodology of was doing a true four-man quarterback competition the right move for this organization.
Well, but this is another reason why, like when Kevin says, I want to get this done sooner than later, that kind of runs antithetical to we've got to give these guys a long runway to decide who actually is the rightful starter. Like you're trying to thread two needles at once. One needle in this game is hard enough. You're trying to get the quarterback right while also instilling confidence in that quarterback. And those two things, like if you want to install the confidence in the quarterback, you make him the starter soon,
right,
and then give him every opportunity to. If you want to get the quarterback right, that means you've got to go ahead and let Kenny Pickett and the rookies play, 99% of the preseason, and including, all right, today Shador's got the ones. Next week, Kenny's got the ones. You know, the week after that, Dylan's got the ones. So that's it is an incredibly ambitious plan they're trying to go for in a season where there are already things against you that it's like, I'm not saying it's wrong. And listen, if in the end you fail, I don't know that that means you should get fired, because if you end up getting a top five pick, well, that's going to be mission accomplished in some way.
I was going to say, did you really fail?
But I think the danger here, and this is, I really think the only way that Kevin really is in trouble at any point this year is if he loses the locker room. And how do you lose the locker room?
You put the wrong guy on the field.
Not just the wrong guy. Screw the process up. Don't handle it a way in which the locker room buys into whatever you're doing. And so, like, there's a part of me that is very empathetic to Kevin, despite my previous criticisms. I'm incredibly empathetic and understanding of just how difficult of a job. While, by the way, we're going back to that offense we ran 2 years ago.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, we're arguably the second or third least talented offense, just point blank. Oh, and by the way, we got an older offensive line who's had a lot of injury problems recently. I don't know that that stops you from losing a locker room, but it does earn my empathy and a touch of respect of like, all right. Oh, and by the way, you're not just trying to win. You're trying to do a lot of different things at once, that some of which go contrary to winning.
It feels like the deck is somewhat stacked against them, and you're right. And I can't emphasize this enough. The easy thing, if this season goes the way I'm expecting it to go, is to say fire people. But you have to look deeper than just the end results. You've got two people in Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski who do work well together, okay? Neither one are running into Jimmy's office complaining about the other.
Yet,
okay.
This season could bring that out. I don't think it'll happen, but remember,
we have yet to see a situation where we wake up to the old Sunday morning hit pieces, right?
Mm.
That used to be a tradition unlike any other. for years and years and years. So this whole situation, it's not conducive to winning. Let's be honest about it. And at some point, or I should say, Nick, at what point during training camp do these guys, when they're in the film room and they're watching five reps from Joe Flacco, and then here's five reps from Kenny Pickett, and then, okay, here's four reps for Dylan Gabriel, and you know what, we gave Shador three reps just for the sake of just putting him on the field and allowing him to do something.
Because the equipment managers needed work?
Hey, Dad, look, I'm on the team, right? I don't know how long you can sell that to your locker room, especially, though, when you're watching that film, Nick, and you're watching what we watched today. That was an ugly practice, what we saw today. There's no other way for me to skin that cat. And you know, it's been like this now for 3 days. There's not one single play in this training camp that I can sit here, which I call the woe play, right, where you're just like, it's immediately burned into your consciousness, like you're going to remember that play for a few days. We have not, in 3 days, where they're not in pads, they're not live contact and all that, there's not a single play where I have a whoa moment, like, whoa, that was really cool. That was really nice. There hasn't been one, at least for the offense.
So you can tell me if this is fair or unfair. When I was watching it today, the offense, there's a different intensity from the defense to the offense. The defense was ripping every ball. They were incredibly physical. I saw MJ Emerson shoulder bump and a ref when he threw a flag on him. The
Which,
defense,
by the way, will get you another flag.
Yes, it will.
In the regular season.
I was actually surprised we didn't get our first coach cuss out of since I've been here, because I was like, if anybody else but MJ pulled that. But I think the defense looked incredibly – I thought they had played with great intensity
on
today.
On point is how I would put
yes,
it right now.
That's a great way.
They're on point right
but
now.
But the offense – I want to say they just didn't have that same energy about them. Is that like even like the wide 100%. Receivers coming out of the break, even like it's just even the offensive line looked a little sluggish to me.
And again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record, Nick, but how can you have any type of rhythm? How can you feel like that you're establishing any? They've established nothing in 3 days.
Yeah.
There's nothing that has been established here. Now, again, I want to be fair to Kevin. I want to be fair to the players. I want to be fair to the coaching staff. That part of that might be by design. You know, there could be a process that is taking place here that's that goes a little deeper and a little more in depth than, you know, what we're just watching on the field. And you know what? I'm willing to grant that grace. But I'm going to tell you right now, as someone who has covered training camp practices where my lead note was they scored one touchdown in the practice. One single touchdown. That was the lead note, okay? Or they completed a pass. They got a completion. Like, that's what this reminded me of today, watching it. And it was a tough watch. I'm not going
to
lie.
I cannot remember if I asked you this. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. You can answer honestly. Can we steal you for one more segment?
Sure thing.
All right, because everything that we're talking about, and you hinted to it already, everything that we've talked about to this point does hint to a bigger picture question, which scares me a little bit here, and it does tie into the social media influencing quarterback. 216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. It sure seems like Shador Sanders is not being given a chance to win the starting job, at least compared to the chance given to Dylan Gabriel, Kenny Pickett, and Joe Flacco. Is that smart or is that foolish? By the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk that out with Daryl in 5 minutes on 90.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
2-3 The Fan. Coming up in about carry the 215 minutes. We've got Spencer German stopping by at 520. But I'm so torn on this because, I mean, I did see Shador miss quite a few throws today. And in fairness, I saw a lot of quarterbacks miss quite a few throws today. So I shouldn't necessarily put it just on Shador.
You saw all the quarterbacks miss throws today.
It was really an equal opportunity in just impossible situation of missed throws.
I'm kind of proud of myself. I felt that was a pretty solid deep cut for me to pull out an Eric Mangini practice reference.
Hey, what did I go to the other day? I had some Shermerism, and then somebody had to remind me that it was a Shermerism, and I was like, man, at this point, it's like trying to quote an individual president. It's like I'm on like president 5 or 6 in my life. The fact that I remember each one of them in and of itself is a commit is some sort of win there. So I'm torn because I agree. I think trying to run a 4-way quarterback battle is incredibly ambitious. I also think if it's secretly a 3-way quarterback battle and you keep acting like you're giving Shador a chance, but you're not. Man, I continue to watch Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Joe Flacco and saying, I don't really think there's that much of a difference between any of these four guys. I kind of don't know why you're just not letting Shador in on the action other than he's throwing to equipment managers.
Right, and I'm going to give Shador some credit. I felt his podium session today was outstanding in the way, with the maturity in which he handled some of the questions. Like, he was asked directly, hey, you know, we keep asking, we can't get answers, so let's ask you, why are you not getting first team reps? He's, hey, listen, that's not for me to say. That's not my job. My job is when I am called upon to go out there and perform and produce, whatever that is, and that's what I'm focused on. And I thought that was such a mature answer, and we have seen that from him since being drafted in the 5th round. He really is a likable kid.
I just saw him over here today. He walked over to sign some autographs, and they walked across. And it's got that thing of like, I talk to everyone, and just watching him. I mean, whether it was media members or people, staffers, like, he makes sure to say hi to everyone. That is an uncommon thing. Yes,
he's genuinely happy to be here.
Yeah,
right. And I think it's fair to say we've had plenty of quarterbacks come through here that were not genuinely happy to be here.
Paging Johnny Manziel. Still upset about that. So I just look at this and
there
I go.
There are so many jokes that I can't tell on the air that I'm just dying to
tell them. You know, a couple of them, because now that I've been around long enough and that a lot of people are gone, you start to get super loose-lipped about things that you say. And at least once or twice, because, you know, JP only encourages me to say the quiet part out loud. And I'll start into a story. I'm like, no, I don't think that one's been reported yet. I'm not going to be the guy that puts that one out there. And it is from that era of the Cleveland Browns where it was just like, that really did happen.
Yeah, it was.
I think everyone has Ken Carman's version of the George Kokinas story. It's just we don't tell everybody we have it, which is something.
Well, I have like 4 versions of the Kokinas story that I have heard.
Yeah, none of them are good, by the way. None of them are make you feel good about what was going on in the building at that time.
And all of them could potentially get me sued at some point. So we just keep those in the file cabinet.
Now, this being said, though, I don't just look at this quarterback derby as, all right, who's going to start week 1. I look at it as giving these kids an opportunity to get to be ready. That if the opportunity arises, you're 2-6 going to the bye, right? Or you're this, that, and the other. Or, God forbid, you carry one vet quarterback, two rookies, and then that vet quarterback gets injured. Whoever it is, you need to get the rookies ready to play this year. This is a year that tells you you're not playing one quarterback this year. That'll be some sort of a Cleveland miracle.
Right.
This profiles as a all four quarterbacks, if they're here, could potentially play. And there's a part of me that's like, all right, I think you are doing this with Dylan. Listen, this season's a waste in some regard. If neither Dylan, or certainly if one of the guys doesn't hit the field. But honestly, unless that the guy that hits the field does do something, if both guys don't hit the field, like, you've put yourself in a position where you drafted these guys and you're in a position to draft a quarterback next year, most likely. So then play those guys.
The problem that I have with that, and I'm not disputing your premise because it's pretty sound. Yes, I just complimented you. is that they're third and fifth round picks. Like, I'm trying to just be realistic about what I expect from those guys, and I just don't think you're doing any type of service by playing them unless they legitimately are ready to be played. Because guess what? Or let me ask you this. What is the last third through whatever round quarterback that the Browns have drafted, right? And they have been forced to put them on the field as rookies. Tell me the last time that has paid any sort of a tangible dividend for this franchise. And in fact,
Colt McCoy. Colt had some good football. He then had some more bad football. But he was playable. It's been 15 years. You can give me this one win.
I'm going to give you only because Colt McCoy is a Business of Football Hall of Fame champion, backup quarterback.
Yeah, he became a good backup in the NFL. What a success story. He grew up with the Cleveland Browns. I hear what you're saying. At the same point, then you shouldn't have taken them.
We're
in this weird catch.
You got to understand, Dylan Gabriel was one of four that just happened moments from the draft, right? I mean, the first one was they traded the number two pick to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was Carson Schwechinger with the first pick in the second round of the draft.
With trade offers on the board, by the way.
And then it was Dylan Gabriel in round three. And then it was we don't need the rest of those picks, which, by the way, GM of the year material right there, getting rid of those day three picks. But, hey, Shador Sanders is on the board. Let's call our buddies in Philadelphia and go get him, and, you know, why not? Like, you had four what-just-happened moments in your draft.
Well, and if you – honestly, there's a fifth. There's in a year where you say you're trying to win, you took two running backs and two quarterbacks.
That's fair.
Which is another – so I just – part of me really wants to go, in the end, nothing matters as long as you have the quarterback at some point in the next. But same point. Do the right thing.
Yes.
Like, if you're not – okay, and this is also unfair – Kevin Stefanski's trying to win. Andrew Berry's trying to find the quarterback of the future. I understand that those two things might not always be in line with each other, but, I mean,
it could be because they have the two first-round picks, and my nuclear option is that you don't have to fail your way in. You've got two first-round picks, and you got your 2027 first-rounder. So you can trade three first-round picks to go get your kid next spring.
Yeah, the problem is...
It's easy for me to say. Yeah, I know. You need two to tango.
Well, but so it's interesting that you say that, because there is the risk of, hey, if the top three teams, if there are three quarterbacks and the top three teams need quarterbacks, you're, you know what, out of luck.
Yeah, and that's the problem is whoever does end up with that number one overall pick, you really want Jacksonville to end up with the number one pick because, well, they are committed to a quarterback. But, yeah, you don't want to end up with a franchise that is, not committed to a quarterback and quarterback needy, ending up with that first or second overall pick.
I feel like the way they're treating Shador, he's still working himself back from however he upset the NFL in the pre-draft process. And even Andrew Berry's answer yesterday on the speeding ticket, it's like, that's as forceful as I've heard him.
I know.
And he's had multiple guys accused of domestic violence.
Well, they have as many players accused of assault in the last year as they won football games.
I just, So like it does feel like, and I hate to be this guy because I'm not a Shahonk. You know this. Switzerland.
I'm aware.
And I work with the
I work with the junior Shishil on Sundays.
But I continue to come back to this.
You're stuck with senior 5 days a week.
No, I'm proud to be stuck with senior 5 days a week. No, I just continue to come back to there's a part of me that's like, what sense in it is having three of these guys who have not, I mean, who are all have some sort of pot mark on them. And then we're like, well, Shador can throw to the equipment manager. No offense to the kid. I'm sure he's got good hands. But I would argue
he has better hands than some of the receivers they have out there.
I saw that.
Better hands than the Browns secondary.
I definitely have seen that as well. I don't know. I just think that's confusing. And it does feel like he's being, I hate the word punished, but it does feel like he's being held to a different standard, which I think
he's being held back.
Yes. And I just don't think that's where you should be this year.
No. Maybe you didn't make your point because he got the speeding tickets before training camp. At some point, I think they need to see what this kid can do in camp. And again, I just think what we're learning right now, Nick, is this four-man quarterback competition was a bad idea. And it might not be internally a true four-man quarterback competition. It certainly doesn't look like a true four-man quarterback competition. It's like 2.5 men out there right now.
Dylan Gabriel.
I just...
Yeah, you walked me into it, and I took the opportunity. That was dirty pool by me.
And me.
Yeah. You know what? It felt good, though. That's all. It made me laugh. All right, Daryl. So this weekend, what can we expect? I know we'll be back out here on Monday, but what can we expect over the next couple days for the Browns?
They're back out here tomorrow morning, 9:30. We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski bright and early before practice. We'll hear from players following practice. Then they get a little bit of a break off Sunday. And then Monday, the first full padded practice. So you'll be out here for a good day there. That, to me, is where the rubber meets the road.
I'll bring my pads.
Hey, you know what? They might need the help on Monday.
We were joking earlier. They got a couple of these little defensive line drills, offensive line drills. And
by the way, so there's a couple down there. You think you can hit one of the bags?
No, I couldn't.
Move a sled?
No, I couldn't get up. Oh, I could. I can move it. I just couldn't move after doing it.
You mean? Yeah. You can do the old lift.
I can
push?
Do it. Yeah. Okay. The problem is I'd paralyze myself.
Well, we're not concerned with it. I just want to know if you.
Oh, you just want to see the first thing?
I just want to.
That would be my moment of victory.
Yes. Yeah,
okay. I'll give it to you.
You versus Ken. Let's do it.
No. Nobody wants. Least of all Ken and I. But nobody wants to see that. Daryl, good stuff, buddy.
You bet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.